hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here we go, 4 o'clock hour. Happy holidays, everyone. I will switch it up to Merry Christmas when it gets closer. So it's not one of those things. But the holidays have started. I was listening to holiday music on the way in. Salerno is actually cool that we'll find out from Alexander White. Don't want to throw you off. What she thinks. We know Adam Hill's stance on it. I'm pretty sure Willie's pretty good with it. And then I'm not sure about JVT. He's becoming kind of a curmudgeon as he gets older. Now, he'll blame it on us that we rubbed off on him somehow, but I don't know.
Yeah, because you're not even anti-holiday, so how would that make any sense?
You can still be a curmudgeon.
I see.
And then, like, destroy people's spirit the rest of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then pull a reversal on them. And they're like, what? Wait, you like the holidays? Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I was surprised when I found out you liked the holidays.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a strange one.
Yeah.
And I do like Halloween. I was laying down all these hardcore rules. It was just some standards, that's all. But I like giving out the candy. It was fun last night. Good costumes.
Yeah. I ran out pretty fast.
You know what? We simply did not have enough kids come up. We had lots of candy. And then I get all, I get kind of anxious because my girlfriend's like, oh, I'm just going to, she's like, I'm going to throw it out. Or, you know, she doesn't do that because I will not allow that. But she's like, oh, I'll take it to work. And I wanted to pick out all the Reese's peanut butter cups and freeze them. I was too lazy.
Those are so good.
She took them all.
I have a little fridge in my room. I put them in there.
Do you?
Yeah. Snickers, too.
Do you have to let them thaw?
No.
Your teeth are that strong?
Yeah.
You have strong legs. You can kick 30-yarders.
Exactly. Easy.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
And I also pointed out to you earlier, anyone who watches this video later, we put out video clips. I have a festive holiday shirt. This is my Italian restaurant cloth.
Yeah.
Basically a tablecloth shirt. And it is, I'm proud of the shirt. My flannel collection is not, it's not awesome, but it very much has aged over the years because I don't throw them out. This shirt, I'm going to go safely with 1991, which, like, when
dude,
you're
30 years ago.
When you're older and you say that, it doesn't mean anything. And you do the math and you're like, oh my God, this shirt's 33 years old.
I got to be honest. It's kind of impressive that you could fit into a shirt that's 30 years old because I know there's no way in the world I could put a shirt. I couldn't even get my arm into a shirt that I wore 30 years ago.
Yeah, you've gotten a little bigger. Yeah. I've told you before, thin Salerno. I think you did the same thing, though. You saw thin me, and both of us were like,
oh, I did.
Hubba hubba.
Well, that's what. Yeah, I know.
I was like,
does he have a brother?
If I wanted to. I get with that.
Dude.
But older, more zaptic, both of us were like, ugh,
well, that's why it surprises me that, I mean, not to be a D, but I'm surprised it fits because you look so different in the picture I saw at the bowling alley.
The bowling alley picture, that was a old guy triathlon, Cofield and Company, maybe like 2010.
Yeah.
I got really low weight-wise.
I
got down to one. I got down to 175.
Damn.
That would be nice, but that's not going to happen again.
Yeah. I would look like the sister from Pet Sematary if I got down to 175. I don't even know if that's possible.
All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I was looking at the rundown. I'm like, where are the stories? Oh, that's the rundown from 1025. Get it together, Cofield. Get it together. By the way, we're going to give away a tailgate party pack for Porta Subs in the next 30 minutes. You know, these pop-up restaurants are real popular around the country, but especially here in Vegas. I'm with you on this one. Netflix is doing a pop-up on the Strip. Your thoughts?
Why? This is one of those who's asking for this things, because I like Netflix and stuff, but they don't really have. I mean, I looked at some of the stuff here, right? Like, it's going to be a themed restaurant about some of their titles. The Queen's Ball. Does anybody want to go to a restaurant themed after the Queen's Ball?
Well, some of the food items were Lincoln Lawyer Tagliarini, Don't Move Tomahawk Steak, Stranger Things Upside Down Cake. Like, I know that one.
Yeah, Squid Game's on there.
Bridgerton Large Format Cocktails. I didn't even... What was Squid Games? I didn't even see the food item.
I don't know. It just says the experience Squid Game in the list I saw over here. I don't know what that is.
Like, I think it's an interesting idea. and I don't want to pimp one network over another, but I feel like Netflix has been around for a while, but do they have like 20 shows that everyone knows? Maybe they do, and I just don't know it offhand. Like HBO could do it.
Yeah.
And you'd have a lot of themed foods. They might have it. And here's the thing. Well, are we the average TV viewer?
I would say pretty normal.
Because I'll say my girlfriend would probably know 20 different Netflix shows that she's watched over the years and could buy into this. I don't watch enough TV that I'm like that over the top. Or is that normal?
I just don't think that they have. I mean, like Breaking Bad, for instance, is on Netflix, but it's not an original Netflix show. It's AMC. So all their big shows that I know that I've watched on there aren't even Netflix shows. So, like, I don't care about going. I mean, maybe Stranger Things is kind of cool, but the rest of the stuff, I've never heard of any of these things.
By the end of the show, could I put together like a 10-item menu? Because I probably have watched a bunch of shows, but I don't know if I could do it.
But do you know which ones are the originals?
Well, I'd have to look it up.
Okay. Like, I like Trailer Park Boys is on there, which is like one of my guilty pleasures.
I don't even know what
that is.
Stupid
old comedy from like, you know, a long time ago. It's kind of like Spinal Tap, but at a trailer park.
But not an original.
No, exactly. It's not a Netflix original. So.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to have.
Netflix restaurant right now. Oh, I just thought of something, though. You know what they did? The hot dog eating contest. Now I can't remember the name of it. What was it again? Griffin, do you remember? Something beef? It was unfinished beef.
Unfinished beef, yep.
There actually was, I mean, that would just be hot dogs, like, and hot dog related items. But that's not enough to do a whole menu.
No.
But I would go down for that. Like, if they had a signing with Kobayashi and food items, like, I'd go down. I'd kiss the ring.
I was thinking, and the only movie I could think of is that horrible Scorsese film, that Irishman or whatever that was on there.
It was long. In pieces, it wasn't horrible. In totality, to watch it for like 4.5 hours, that was tough.
I almost got really sad when I had to watch Robert De Niro try to step on that guy's hand out in front of the shop, the flower.
He really had a baby step to not fall
down.
It was
ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was.
All right, so Netflix, pop up. Right now, Salerno saying,
yet.
Doesn't care. Number three.
Number three.
Now, if the station sells a remote, you'll eat everything in sight for Netflix.
Did I tell you how much I love Netflix and theme restaurants?
That's what I figured. Bob Costas retires. Do you care?
I care because I'm tired of him, kind of. So, yeah, I'm happy. Like, I was watching
I don't think that's the intent of announcing retirement. Like, I really want to fire people up, but I'm done.
Well, you're way, like, I know you're way nicer. I'm kind of mean when it comes. If I hear a guy too many times, I'm out, and I just don't want to.
On a lot of broadcasters and sports media people, I'm not nice.
Okay.
So I really don't have much to say here. Because I don't want to disrespect the guy, because he has been around forever, and he did a lot more than just sports broadcasting. I was just never a big fan, but I can appreciate what he does, his flexibility. The thing, probably the best way to put it for me would be that there are people who retire and really don't care if they get a lot of attention. I think Bob Costas cares if he gets attention.
Yes, very much. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of Al Michaels. Like, Al Michaels had a prime, obviously, where he was one of the greats, and I feel like he's definitely lost a few steps.
I have a lot more good things to say about Al Michaels. Like, I think he's a really good all-time great play-by-play guy. Now, he's gotten older. And, you know, if people are willing to throw him $17 million a year to do whatever, 10 football games, I guess I'm not going to get on him. Can I tell you one of the great mysteries of life that I have never been able to find? And
what's
I
that?
Know I witnessed this with my own eyes. Al Michaels is one of the hairiest men I've ever seen. And I don't think anyone knows it.
I never noticed that.
He did.
How do you know that?
Well, he did a Wild World of Sports back in the day. And I don't know if you remember Jackie Stewart. I can't do a Scottish accent, but he was a little Scottish guy who was the Indy driver.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I did Indy motion like that.
Yeah, that was
Indy.
Cool.
Just a circle.
Oh, now I get it.
And they were in a hot tub together.
All right.
It was like a cold weather venue. They're in a hot tub. I think it was outside, and the steam's coming up. And I was like, "That, like Al Michaels is Yeti.
Like
he is a bear.
Like Ryan.
It was shoulders.
Robin Williams.
Every inch of his body. And I don't think I wonder if anyone's ever asked him about it. Like, hey, I saw that episode. Like, did you start waxing since then? Do you use technology, or is everything like a little extra puffed up? Like, do you have to wear bigger shirts for your hair? And I know what I saw. Don't go ahead and try it. Look it up.
I'm looking it up right
like
now.
Like Al Michaels, Harry. Al Michaels, Harry, Wild World of Sports. Al Michaels, Hot Tub, Jackie Stewart. Like, I've looked.
I'm trying to find it.
It's a guilty pleasure of mine because I know what I saw.
Did he, like, erase this from the internet somehow? Did he have, like, a LeBron team?
I don't, you know, there people didn't. Yeah, you maybe you can find it on YouTube sometimes because YouTube's constantly, people are constantly
right
posting weird stuff
before
from the 50s,
it gets
60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Well, why would you? It's not porn.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it was very intriguing. Anyway, number two.
Number two.
You know, I would like to peek in another weird topic. I would love to peek in on some great athletes just playing golf and see how athletic they are in other sports. Like Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts playing golf would be, I would love that.
Problem is, well, Saquon and Jalen Hurts had an opportunity to play golf with former President Obama.
Wait, they did?
Yes.
That's one of my dreams.
Saquon did it.
I mean, just to watch him play golf.
Yeah, exactly. Saquon did it, but Jalen Hurts did not, citing that he has in his contract saying he cannot do that. Now, the Eagles have come out and said that's not really true, that it was kind of a verbal agreement. But I think it's good. I think it shows that he's got his eyes on the prize and that he's not going to do anything to, you know, if I see Jalen on a motorcycle, I'm going to go nuts, you know. So I'm glad he didn't.
For you as an Eagles fan, like, what's the limit of other sports activities that athletes or football players should be allowed to do?
I think he should be in a wheelchair from Monday until the game. And then he can do whatever, you know, play the game and then back into the wheelchair again. He's not allowed to do anything else.
Is it okay if he squats during the season? Because he needs that for that tush push.
Man, that is scary looking. You ever see, like, when the bar's melting and there's so much on there and his knees are, like, kind of shaking?
Yep.
I'm like, dude, you're going to blow out one of your quads or something.
I told you. Again, going back to Wild World of Sports, one of my most vibrant memories of sports competition was a bodybuilder, Franco Colombo. They used to carry refrigerators. And his leg bent out and the wrong way. He snapped his leg and his ACL, MCL.
Ugh.
But the leg didn't, like, in is bad. When it folds out,
yeah,
not good.
No.
So I always worry in season about guys lifting stuff. Like, don't lift furniture.
Yeah.
Don't lift other players.
Don't do anything.
Yeah, just be very careful. Bubble wrap all week long.
Yes.
You got a Super Bowl to win here. Number one.
Number one.
Interesting topic here. We'll steal it from another radio show. We won't credit them because that's what we do. Can Tom Brady be a reliable voice in season for the Raiders as a member of management, or does he have to cut back his TV responsibilities? Can you do both?
No.
And should Mark Davis be like, you're not watching. You're with other teams. We don't care what your input is. In the offseason, we'll listen to you.
Well, it's weird because he legally can't do his job or whatever. I mean, contractually can't do his job, really.
He's not allowed to prep like everyone else does. He's not supposed to be at these meetings with players and coaches the week of the game.
So I don't know how. I mean, if I'm Fox, I'm already really pissed as it is because I gave this guy a gajillion dollars.
But here's the thing. Do you think most of the analysts, do you think more analysts than not actually really work at prepping for these games? Or is there a way to prep for the game without talking to the actual participants in the game?
It's not the prep as much to me as it is the conflict of interest where he's not allowed to say certain things, because then you're kind of like, because he can't give certain opinions now about officiating, I heard. He can't give certain opinions about other things because of he hasn't.
Oh, I didn't know about. Are you sure?
That's what I heard.
Let Griffin, had you heard that he can't? Come on. He can't comment on officiating?
Yep. He's got to toe the line. There's a lot of things he can't do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, if I'm Fox, I'm like, okay, well, thanks a lot, man. You know, could have told us that before.
Well, they knew he was going.
That he was going to be part owner?
That he was efforting being an owner.
I don't know, man.
And they gave him 10 years and $375 million. I think there's a lot of questions they could have asked. And if they were, you know, true to real broadcasting prep ethics, they would have bailed. But they wanted his name. I don't know that they really care how good the content is.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Greg, seriously. A couple things. The Burbs, Patrick Berbert's coming up here in a second. Let's pop up his description on our video. We'll put that out later on. Secondly, put the sunglasses away. It's become a problem.
All right, fine.
It was a joke earlier because I have a light because you're very menacing looking. I want the show to be positive on Fridays, and you look mean and kind of criminal-like. So you have sunglasses, you put them on, then you took them off because the light was removed. You leave them right near the prizes, and every person who comes up is like, hey, how about those sunglasses? You're like, not those.
I've literally disappointed six people.
Grab anything you want.
I know. Hey, man, go ahead and take some. How about these? Oh, wait, not that. I just have to take it back out of his hand.
The next person who comes up, I hope they walk up to you and they start tugging at your hat and they're like, I like this Yankee hat. Can I have it?
Yeah.
No, it's on my head.
Hey, man, how about those headphones?
I mean, we want to do all we can for you guys here at Treasure Island. So we're trying, but we can't give away everything that we have on the table. You see that computer? You got a second computer. Give it to me. So what's going on, buddy? We haven't seen you in a while. I haven't.
Yeah, everything's going well here. We're going to be really busy this weekend, so it's really exciting.
I'm going to cut to the chase because I think the most important thing as we start this spot is let me get the camera framed here. Let me get him in the Greg, as someone who is follically challenged, what do you think of Patrick's hair? He's gone with a different style here the last couple of months. It's voluminous. It's combed forward. I think it might be the best hairdo I've seen you with the entire time you've done spots with us.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that. I've had the military short haircut look on the show, and then I've grown it out a little bit. I think it's starting to get out of my comfort zone a little bit, where my next haircut's going to cut some length off at the top here.
Greg, would you like to get into Ohio State, Penn State, or you want to talk product?
Well, I was just wondering, like, in the front there, do you do anything with the bangs, or is it just natural like that?
No, it's not natural. I have to use a textured powder.
Do you really?
Oh, you got right to the products. See? That's awesome. All right. Well, I think, you know, speaking of that, I think Ryan Day colors his hair. He is like jet black, especially in the beard. He's like you. I think he colors his beard.
I'm sorry. This is not coloring. This is a medicinal thing from a shaman.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's just for men. You tried to fool us with that. You're a clown. Let's talk Ryan Day, and let's talk James Franklin. Here's the funny thing in this game, and this is also when you get to this level, the expectations are so high. So both guys is like, James Franklin is 1-9 against Ohio State. He sucks. Ryan Day never beats top five teams. Like, you realize the competition there, and it's pretty tough. But coaching is going to be on display here because I think both teams are pretty even. Where are the sharps on this? And right now, where do you guys have the number? Are you sitting at 3, Ohio State?
We're sitting at 3 on this game. The market opened up about 4, 4.5, Ohio State. It's came down to 3. This is a big game for both teams here. I mean, obviously, as you said, both of the coaches have that stigma that they can't really beat a top opponent. So this is your chance to really put that on display. Both teams are top 5. Penn State's at home here. They don't really have much the rest of the way after this game. So this is their game of the season right here to go out on full display. And then Ohio State, they already had their loss against Oregon. So this could be their other opportunity to come out and have a quality win to keep them in that conversation for the college football playoff. I'm really looking forward to this game just because of the fact that you got a high-powered offense going up with two really good defenses here. Allard's playing a lot better. Penn State seems to run the ball really good. So I think this is going to be an exciting game all around. And as bad as James Franklin has been against the top teams, he's at home here for this game. So this is going to make it even better.
Patrick, as a fellow Yankee fan, I want to say sorry about the series. Haven't seen you since. You know, we were talking beforehand, and I'm very sad. Raiders, last week, they covered, but they lost to the Chiefs. Bengals got worked by the Eagles. What are you looking at with this game with the Raiders visiting the Bengals?
Yeah, this is going to be a really interesting game. The Raiders, they sold away Devontae Adams. They tried to go with AOC, and then he ended up getting hurt, so they had to go back to Minshew. So the quarterback situation is a little weird over there right now. They just made another quarterback signing as well. So I'm really interested to see how the Raiders battle adversity here, what Antonio Pierce can do with his team. The Bengals haven't been the Bengals that we thought they would be. They have had a couple close losses as well, so they're not as bad as their record says. But I expect the Bengals to come out on top here at home against the Raiders. Like, if they don't show up for this game, we kind of know the trajectory of where they're going to go the rest of the year. So this is a game for them to make a statement.
Rams and Seahawks.
I'm really intrigued by this game just because of the different direction that the Seahawks have gone after starting 3-0. They're sitting at 4-4 right now. The Rams are playing good football. They're getting healthy again, which is most important for them. Nacua is back. Cup is there as well. So McVay is going to have that offense rolling. And I know for the Seahawks, I believe DK Metcalf is out for this game as well. So they love to pass the ball over there. Geno Smith passes the ball a lot. So they're going to need their other guys to step up as well. But I do like the Rams here for this game, and so does the money coming in.
Okay, that answered my question. I was going to say, I figured sharp money would be on the home dog here. No? People are on the Rams. They got a high.
They're betting the Rams here, yep.
All right.
This game is interesting to me because the Lions have been absolutely destroying people. I mean, they had like 50 points, and like, I don't know, I looked up. It was like the game just started. All of a sudden, they had 50 points. The line I thought was kind of low. They're playing the Packers. Is it because it's a divisional game? They're at the Packers? Is that why? Or?
Divisional and on the road.
Okay.
On the road here. I mean, if the Lions were at home, you'd be sitting closer to a touchdown for this game.
Gotcha.
So the fact that it's in Green Bay, Lambeau's always a tough place to play as well. Lions are an indoor weather team.
Sure.
And now weather could start. I haven't really looked at the weather forecast in Green Bay, but, you know, once you start getting to this time of the year as well, it's not going to be exactly warm weather. I know Jordan Love, he's dealing with a little bit of a groin injury. They feel like the first week he came back from his early season injury, they might have rushed him back a little too quick. But then he started playing really good football. Packers are pretty healthy right now. But like you said, the Lions, they're just rolling through every opponent. Dan Campbell, it's just like those players want to run through a wall for him. He fires those guys up. So I'm really interested in this game, but the public is all over the Lions for this one. It seems to be week after week. The public just can't get enough of the Lions.
I don't know if you know this, but Patrick Berbert, who's here with us, I don't know if it's your favorite sport. He loves college basketball. Loves it. And it's rolling out on Monday with 80-plus games. You guys post that morning, or will you post on Sunday?
We've already got about 50 games up of college basketball.
Yep, all right. Well, that shows you right there.
We posted.
With the risk supervisor here at TI that – they feel comfy on college basketball. All right, well, right out of the gates, there's a good game here in town with Ohio State and a Texas team that's loaded and got some really good transfers in.
Yeah, the game is going to be played at T-Mobile Arena. Sitting at 2.5 for Texas for that game. Both these teams a little bit new look. Ohio State looked really good at the end of the last year, but now they've got some new players on this team. They brought in a San Diego State transfer. They brought Micah Parrish. They brought in the star from South Carolina, Michi Johnson, and then they bring back their best player, Bruce Thornton. So that's really good news for Ohio State to make a good impression this year, as they've been playing down the last few years. But Texas, they went and attacked the portal hard this past year. They've got about 8 or 9 guys that can compete for a starting spot on that team, and they're going to play good defense as well. So look out for Texas now in the SEC. They come from I think the Big 12 was the best conference in college basketball. So they know how to play basketball against quality opponents. So I think they'll fit just fine in the SEC this year as well.
And then Gonzaga will always schedule aggressively. In turn, Baylor doesn't have to, because Baylor's in a power conference, but Baylor does. So Baylor is going to go to Spokane and play Gonzaga on the road. This one should be a really good game. Again, Baylor recruits at the highest level. The Zags with as good an NIL war chest as anyone in the country. They bought themselves at the table 20 years ago. They continue to now take advantage of the whole thing, that it's all above board. What do you think? Because I like some of the guys Gonzaga got. A very, I think, under-the-radar guy is Michael Ayayi, who is an amazing rebounder at 6'7". What happens in the opener, though?
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game to close out the night here. We're sitting Gonzaga 3 for that game. Gonzaga, you know, a lot of people say that because of the conference they play in, you know, like they're not a power team, but they could play in any power conference, like you said, Steve. They always schedule tough, and they're in the Sweet 16 year after year. They've been the two national championship games in the last decade, so they know how to win basketball games. They've got a really good start in 5. They bring back Nolan Hickman at the point guard. They bring in they brought in a bunch of transfers. Khalif Battle from Kentucky, he's a scorer. Ryan Nemhard coming back at guard is a really good point guard as well. And I think the big factor for that team that they have back is Graham Ike down low, because he was a double-double machine last year. So I'm really excited to see what this Gonzaga team could do this year, and they're one of the favorites to win the national championship.
Talking to Patrick Berbert, risk supervisor here over at the Golden Circle Sportsbook in Treasure Island.
We got about 60 seconds.
Okay, 60 seconds. Dark horse guy. Tell us your dark horses this year for college basketball.
I love it. As far as dark horses for college basketball, I'm really looking at Xavier, 75-1. They got two guys back who were their starters and leading scorers that didn't play last year. They sat out for injury, and then they attacked the portal hard. They brought back two starters that actually played last year as well. So you've got 9 guys on that team that can also compete for a starting spot. So I'm really excited to see what Xavier can do this year. They had a little bit of a down year last year after being really good the year before, but I think they're going to be right back competing in the Big East and challenge UConn for the Big East as well.
Last couple seconds, Breeders' Cup tomorrow. What do you got going on? Anything special?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome in here. One of the great things about our book is that we're able to feature two different audios in here. So for all the big horse bettors in here, we'll have Breeders' Cup in the main sports book, and then on the other side of the sports book, we'll be able to just play college football all day. Well, we'll start the day off with a great game in Ohio State, Penn State.
All right, Patrick, good job, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you for having me, guys.
There he is, Patrick Berbert, risk supervisor here at Treasure Island. Let's give away a Porta Subs 2-foot sub, the 2-foot classic sub from your neighborhood sandwich shop. And, of course, you might want to dig into one of the standards, the Pilgrim fall tradition. Got the turkey, the savory stuffing, the tangy cranberry sauce. Caller 7-364-1100, Porta Subs.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, when you pine for the sunshine of a friendly game.
Let's go, Greg, sing it.
For the holidays, you can't beat home.
Nailed it.
Sweet. I did. But you see what I did, Griffin? That was actually Patrick Mahomes.
No, I knew exactly what you were doing. I was going to hit the frog sound.
Home for the holidays, right?
I'm here. It's Christmas.
That was terrible. That's a thing. You have to have some oomph to it. Otherwise, there are days we come on and we're like, I'm here. Like, it's just very soft. Patrick Mahomes is a very strong man.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Like, I don't know.
With the a voice. Strong throat.
Yes.
Whoa. I'm here.
See, I don't have it today. Burger's on the way. All right. Looks like you're getting the bison burger. You like bacon jam?
Yeah, sure.
I was like, well, it's on there, so you're getting it.
Never tried it.
And then Mateo's going for same thing or a regular burger? All right. Do we go, what do we do? We get medium? What do we do? Well? Medium? Okay. Don't say well.
Oh, no. I get medium.
All right. Bison burger's a little dry, generally. Not here, but everywhere.
I never had one.
You might want to get it medium rare.
I'm not even sure if I ordered a bison burger.
Wait, you didn't even order yet. That's a good point. We didn't order yet. Well, you were toying with it. You were.
Yeah. I want one, but I'm not sure what I said the right thing.
So here's the thing. These are first world problems, especially for, guys who are a little bit bigger. Picking between the burger, the Philly cheesesteak, the grilled ham and Swiss, the egg salad sandwich, chicken salad sandwich, local mochas, they're all available here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We're very lucky. There are a lot of people who don't have food. And you told me something earlier about Northern Nevada, and we're on right now in Reno and Sparks and beyond. There's horses all over the place up there. And they're just offing them?
Yeah, it's like an epidemic of horses.
Apparently, they're wild horses. What are they doing?
They said they've removed, since they started killing them up there, which happened decades ago, they started because it's been like a problem for a while, but it's gotten worse. They said they've killed 136,000 horses.
Stop!
Yeah. Now, this is, again, over decades time. But
so where's, like, PETA on this?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess overpopulation makes it okay, so they have a reason to do it, but it seems kind of mean.
Someone text us on the Finley Kia text line. 364-1100. I almost gave out the text line from 5 years ago. 364-1100. Griffin, see if you get any – we need some advice on the horse meat. Can you not use wild horse meat? Is there something wrong with it? That would seem like a good thing to do, no?
I mean, it's not wasting it. Yeah, sure. You would think, if somebody kills a deer, which makes me sad, I would hope they eat it.
Well, a couple problems. Did you did the AI lookup, right?
Yeah.
About the problem?
Yes.
Why are they killing them?
Well, I've seen videos of horse. I mean, like, there'll be a street, a regular street, and, I mean, it's just like hundreds of them just running around.
You don't want to run into a horse.
No, you don't want to run into a horse. You don't want them.
Or your car.
They're probably invasive a little bit. If they eat all the stuff around, then, you know, they might be eating stuff. I don't know.
It did say that on the AI. It didn't say they eat stuff.
I'm not exactly sure what they eat.
Well, it did say that it's, you know, it kind of threatens the other animals' diet, you know. When there's that many horses, I mean, they're taking up a lot of foliage.
Well, because I go around here, and like if you go down to, for instance, Good Springs, down by Gene, Nevada, where that Pioneer Saloon is and all that stuff, there's some wild horses out there if you know where to go, on this like dirt road. But there's not like thousands. I mean, there's probably like 15 of them, so it's cool. It says here that some of these towns, there's like 13,000 of them. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't want them offed. That seems kind of harsh, but I also don't want a pack of horses in my front yard.
Yeah, like, I know. I don't know.
That would be a little scary. You got to look outside. Then I get trampled.
Not sure what I would do.
By the horses. All right. Second half of the show is on the way. Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, I am fired up to get Kenny White's leans, likes, look at the NFL. He joins us every week around this time. He also does the Bet the Gambit podcast. Kenny, how you doing? Greg Salerno's here. It's Cofield. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. And busy time of year. We got basketball, you know, getting ready to kick off here real soon. Now it's November 1st.
I saw you this morning. I was watching some of the Bet the Gambit podcast, and you were lamenting not having time for all this stuff, which I totally appreciate the honesty. The other thing that was great is Greg and I have a habit on this show. We start rambling and going in directions. Kenny, you had a moment where you went from Boca Raton to Joey Fatone to Howard Schnellenberger to something about the field's not called Howard Schnellenberger. And I got to tell you, I'm watching it, and I'm like, I wanted to yell at the screen, like, Kenny, it's still named Howard Schnellenberger Field, and he was the first coach of FAU when they went Division I. Come on, bro. But you're like, you're doing that, and you're trying to look stuff up. It was very entertaining.
Yeah, I'm looking stuff up on the fly a lot because, you know, I've given it a lot of thought. And my dad said, why don't you just do the show at 11 a.m.? It'll give you 4 hours to prepare. So I'm giving it some thought. But I like to be early as I can and get as much information out as I can because I'm always preaching, make your own numbers and bet early because that's the only way to beat the books. That's the best way to get the best possible number you can. You can't wait till the last minute. You know, if you ever worked in a book, everybody's sitting up in the seats all day long. All day they're sitting there. Yep. And then 5 minutes before the game, they all rush to the window to try to make their bets.
Yep. And I worked in books, and that's the way it is. It's crazy. So some college football, some plays here. What do you want to do with Michigan State and Indiana? Indiana has been rolling, but is there some value on the Spartan side?
Yeah, they've been a great story all year. They are a great story, and Kurt Sanguinetti really turned this team around. But Jonathan Smith's a great coach for Michigan State. This guy is a Chris Peterson protege, was with Peterson for 16 years, 4 years at Boise, and then all 12 at Washington, gets the job at Oregon State, and he turned Oregon State around. I feel like he's already turning Michigan State around. I think they've played much better. In the last three games, they've been even in the turnover battle. Childs, the quarterback's only thrown one INT in the last three games where he threw eight in the first five games. The team's just getting much, much better. Indiana, obviously, right now, this is a buy low, sell high spot. Before the year started, Michigan State would have been a favorite in this game. But Indiana should be the favorite here in this game, and I think they should, but I don't think they should be over a touchdown. I made Indiana 3. I'm taking the points with Michigan State.
Kenny, another game this weekend. We got Oklahoma State and Arizona State. What are you looking at there?
I like Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy. You know, it's been a tough year for this football team. And I thought this team had enough talent because they returned everybody from last year that they had a chance to win the conference. And they started 3-0 but didn't play well in those games, really. They did go 2-1 ATS, but then they hit the skids. A tough loss to Utah. got beat up bad by Kansas State. But the last two games, they should have won. BYU, they were winning the entire game and just lost the end of the game. Baylor, Ollie Gordon fumbles at the one-yard line going in, and then the next play, Baylor goes 99 yards for a touchdown. Really tough losses. But Mike Gundy's got an 18-year streak of going to a bowl game. They need three more wins. This is a big game for them. And, again, buying low, because if you looked at the look-ahead line, and I don't know what it is. I'm guessing Oklahoma State had to be about 10 over Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham, youngest coach in college football, he went 3-9 last year. Nobody expected anything out of Arizona State. They've overperformed. They did early, but I tell you, I think they've come back down to earth just a little bit. I think Oklahoma State's still the better football team, even though the record doesn't say it. I like this team. They'll be motivated to get a W.
Talking to Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com. Iowa versus Wisconsin, another game this weekend. What are you looking at on that one?
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz is one of my favorite coaches, but so is Luke Fickell. And I've lost with Luke Fickell a couple times just last week, and I sometimes hate to get caught up in the crossfire here of betting on them and you lose and then you bet against them the next week. But it's just too much for me to pass up. We're laying 2.5 with Iowa here. I think the important factor is that Iowa's got two decent quarterbacks. Cade McNamara's had a shaky year, but his backup, Brandon Sullivan, who was a Northwestern transfer, played really well last week, and he's a dual threat. Now, Wisconsin played Penn State last week. When Aller went out, their second-string quarterback came in, and he's a dual-threat guy, and he went right through Wisconsin. So I think the dual-threat quarterback of Sullivan is a big possibility, having a big game for Iowa here in this one. Brandon Locke has filled in for Wisconsin for losing Tyler Van Pelt, but Locke is just an average NFL, average college quarterback, 7 touchdown passes, 6 INTs. Wisconsin is weak at the quarterback position, and that's why they lost last week to Penn State. So I like Iowa here, especially at home. Kirk Ferentz, 85-66 ATS in his home games.
Wow.
Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com is with us. Bet the Gambit podcast up on Cofield & Company on a Friday as we're live here at Treasure Island. Penn State, Ohio State.
I'd be remiss, Steve, if we didn't mention Sports by the Book, the only father-daughter sports betting show, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the South Point Studio, Sports by the Book, Alex White and I. My daughter's been doing an amazing job of handicapping. She's taking over the family business.
I was going to say, we know her, and we've been touting the fact that she's kicking booty down in the Circa Invitational, number 2, in that 7-game-a-week contest.
Yeah, she's doing great. Really proud of her and how she's done it. She's doing it through her research and crunching numbers and adjusting power ratings and making her own line. So she's doing a great job. Best game of the weekend, obviously, Ohio State, Penn State. We all know Ohio State and Ryan Day struggles versus top 5 teams. We all know James Franklin struggles against Ohio State. It's not trends that I don't follow. I don't ever really follow any of those type of trends. And I don't bet trends. I power rate my players. I get a power rating on the team. And again, as I taught Alex, you adjust that power rating from game to game, how that team played that game. So, Drew Auer's playing. He's going to play. I knew he would play. And he's having a good year. 71% completions, 10 yards a pass, 12 touchdowns, 4 INTs. Will Howard's having a great year for Ohio State. And these are two great teams. Now, Ryan Day struggles against top 5 teams because they're top 5. They're really good football teams, obviously. And James Franklin has struggled against Ohio State because Ohio State has been better than Penn State the last 10 years. But this may be a different year, and every game's a snowflake, and I think Penn State is just as good as Ohio State. I think they should be the favorite in the game. So, yeah, go Nittany Lions.
Kenny White's with us. NFL time. Vikings and Colts. What are we doing?
You know, the Vikings was a team that I may have had well underrated to begin the year, and I have up their power rating. I now have them an average NFL football team. I really think that their schedule fell perfect for them early on. And it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And I think they caught a break of playing the 49ers the second week of the season, and they caught a break by playing Green Bay without Love at quarterback. So They're, again, an average NFL football team, and I think the Colts are pretty much the same thing, an average NFL football team, but they've played well lately. 4-2 straight up, 5-1 ATS the Colts are, and I like Flacco at quarterback much better. I had Flacco rated as the higher quarterback to begin the year. We know Anthony Richardson's a great athlete. He can run around like crazy, but he has no idea how to slide or stay away from contact. And he can throw the football 2 miles, but he has very little starting experience. He did not play a lot at Florida, and he has very little experience in the pros. You know, most guys, when they come to the pros, and if they do well, like a Brock Purdy, he started 50 games in college football. Richardson was nowhere near that. So I still think Flacco, at this time right now, Flacco's a better quarterback. Next year, after a little more experience, Richardson will probably be the way better quarterback. But I'll take Flacco. I'm glad he's in the starting QB1 role. So let's go, Colts. We'll take the points. The best thing about underdogs, there's two ways to win the game. They can win straight up or with the points.
Talking to Kenny White, you can catch him on Bet the Gambit podcast. This game's interesting to me. I think the Lions, you can make the case, even though they don't have the best record, they might be the best team in football going against the Packers, divisional game. How are you seeing that?
High scoring. This Lion offense is the real deal. And losing Aiden Hutchinson, you know, that hurts that defense a little bit. They lose their best player on defense. So, but they can score, and they can score plenty. And Love is just going to have to answer back every time the Lions score. I think it's going to be a game that does go back and forth. I don't have a play on the side, but I do. I did play the game over the total.
Are we ready to back the Broncos in real games here? They're getting a big number, 9.5. They got a pretty good defense. Yeah, I'm still unsure about Knicks. I think the Ravens have some warts, and I don't know if they're going to solve that pass defense. What do you want to do here? Ravens laying the points?
The Ravens have been my Achilles heel. I lost all my survivor selections because of the Ravens. And last week I bet them on the money line because I thought Cleveland was dead in the water, but Cleveland is rejuvenated without Deshaun Watson. I really didn't know how separated it was. I had a feeling it could have been that way. If you're the wife of a player on the Browns, she's telling you you're not hanging around him. So he probably didn't have any friends on that team. And now that he's gone, I guess, you know, the bad karma is probably lifted as well. Kevin Stefanski did a good job of calling plays. So Baltimore, they've got a great team. They do. Lamar Jackson's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and they're very well coached. Harbaugh does a great job of finding players to fit his system that nobody else likes. He's got the best second string in the NFL. He's just got a great eye for talent. But this game, I'm right on the number, Steve. And Denver, I had rated very low at the beginning of the year. They're well coached. They do have a very good defense. Bo Nix has just scared me. And on the road, I think he could struggle against this defense.
Commanders and Giants. Jaden Daniels has been spectacular, but is he good enough as a rookie to be laying 4 on the road?
Yeah, why not? Laying more than a field goal on the road's been a huge profit maker all year long. And it's the thing I talk about is home field advantage is really almost gone in the NFL because of what I think is the coaches being able to keep their flag for a penalty that they disagree with and challenging that. So if they win the challenge, and this is Brian Blessing, you guys are at Oasis and a sponsor. When I hear Oasis, I think of Brian Blessing. God rest in peace. Brian was the best. And Brian hated it that you would challenge a call that was a horrible call in the field and you would lose the challenge. Flag, you're done with that challenge. You won the call. The call was reversed. Well, why don't you keep that challenge? Why can't you keep it? And the NFL finally changed that rule. So, you know, home field advantage, all it is how loud the crowd can be to dictate calls by the officials in favor of the home team. And that's not a factor anymore because every bad call is now overturned by a challenge by the visiting coach. So there's really no home field. The Commanders are the far better team. Dabo's really struggled with the Giants. I think this could be a very easily win by the Commanders.